What's on your mind?
So I looked into, you know, what we talked about last time. Roxanne actually found an event here that they're having. Give me a second. Let me get the information. The Miami-Dade Lincoln Day Dinner, which is a Republican event, and they're going to have Ron DeSantis speak. So I'm submitting that for approval to see if they can approve, you know, if compliance approves it for us to attend.
Great. I'm telling you, you got a future. You got a 10 times better story than I would ever have. You know, you got to have a story to be in politics, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I want to be in politics, though. Just deal with the people in it.
Right. But you can be a speaker, okay? You can be one of a number of speakers to get up and tell a story. And your story will resound in your community, but it would really resound in Massachusetts or in Colorado or California or someplace where the crazies are. And there's a few Republicans left that want to hang on to some hope. And you're the hope. You're the future. And there's nothing that could have happened better for freedom than what's happening right now in the Ukraine. I know it's costing a lot of people their lives, but yeah. It's the single most important event in our lifetime in terms of solidifying even the most horrible liberal that freedom does matter. But you don't hear a thing from AOC in that crowd, do you?
No. She actually spoke last week and she had some very interesting things to say. Nothing on Ukraine, though. Just to say that people should stop having kids because it's bad for the environment.
She's a psycho.
That's the new thing. That the world is a very sad place and we shouldn't have children. That's their new agenda.
Just think about that, right?
Oh, and then there was an ad in Oregon saying, stop adding to the problem, stop having white kids.
Wow. They are gone off the edge. This is worse than communism.
It's a mental illness, seriously.
They're completely crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so fight for freedom and you will get a contingent that you will be, you don't want to deal with crazy people because it's crazy on the right too, but a lot of really wealthy people are willing to step up and give a lot of money and help people that are helping the cause. So, what better way than have you manage their money for them?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm all in. Here's what I want you to think about. I was looking back and we've been doing business together for 5 years, 2017. So what I want you to think about is what are the steps that you take now that in 5 years will make a huge difference? That's the way to think about your practice rather than what did we get, what did I do yesterday that's going to give me business tomorrow? And one of the things one of the things that hit me was when I retired, and I was teaching Supernova and Supernova Mastermind groups. And I was thinking to myself, I never formed a mastermind group. And when I first came to Indianapolis in 1985, I was on the cover of Indianapolis Business Journal as a young up and comer in the community, along with, I think, four other guys. Right. So there was a banker, there was a commercial realtor, there was a, you know, CEO of a young CEO of a company. And I don't remember, a CPA firm CEO. Anyway, I thought to myself, what if I'd have formed a mastermind group of those guys when I came to town? What would it be like when I retired in 2006? What could we have accomplished together, the six of us or five of us, in terms of helping the community and frankly, bringing in business for my company, right? And referring to their company and just becoming friends. And I never did it. And I thought, what a waste. That wouldn't have taken that much time. And that could have changed my life in Indianapolis. I was so busy running my business that I didn't think about what I could do that would impact my company 5 years from then, or 10 years from then, or 20 or 30 years. So that's what I want you to think about, the mastermind group that will change your life 5 years from now, because they'll all be promoted and better jobs and running firms and, you know, big movers and shakers in the community, become governor, this and that, right? Become mayor. So that's the way you got to think about our business, rather than thinking my little world, my tiny little world.
Yeah.
And you think, I don't have time. Well, you do have time. You always have time. You can't do everything, but you can do some things that are key.
You asked what's on my mind. I actually had something that came up that I thought of, and I actually been reading about what you just said about looking like becoming the person you want to be in 5 years, doing the things that 5 or 10 years from now, what's going to get you to where you want to be. Just separate though, you know, we talked about different target audiences. You're familiar with the NIL now, the name, image, and likeness was going on in sports, in college sports.
Yes.
You know, some of these kids are getting some, you know, just for instance, the kid that just committed to Tennessee is going to get $8 million over the next 4 years or 3 years. Yeah, which is insanity right now. We don't know, you know, if that's going to continue, you know, if the NCAA is going to curtail that or what. But what do you think about that market?
Well, I mean, it's a fabulous market. The question is, you know, what is your unique ability to penetrate that business?
Yeah, because I know Morgan Stanley has a entertainment and sports division.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have specialists that deal with that. So that's something that, you know, that could be a resource if I identify someone that's a potential target.
All right. So that's a 5-year plan project, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need to make a business plan around it.
Yes.
And if you're not willing to write a business plan around it, then don't start.
Okay.
Let me, Rob, Rick's passion is college sports. You may not know that about him.
That's why I asked, what makes you unique?
That is his passion. It's almost a little concerning. I'm not kidding. We drove by a high school here, and this was like a year ago, and we were driving by Palmetto High School, and the football players were practicing. And there was this guy with long dreadlocks, and Rick said, it was me and the kids and Rick. And Rick said, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. He's a prime recruit for so-and-so school, and so-and-so school is looking at him. And he knew all the stats, and I'm like, okay, that's a little concerning.
So what do you think? You know, you take your hobby and you turn it into your business.
I mean, when I say everything that he has a passion for, other than his family, that is like the number one thing he has a passion for. I told him, sometimes I say, you should have been a sports commentator, a college sports commentator.
All right. So give me your history, in sports, Rick.
Three sport athlete in high school, captain of football team, basketball team. And then I played junior college football and Division III football.
Basketball, was it baseball?
Yeah, basketball and baseball. I was a terrible baseball player, but we had a terrible baseball team, so I was good.
And football.
Yeah.
And then you played football in college.
In junior college and in Division III.
Why did you go to junior college?
Because
I went to a small high school. I went to a small high school that on my graduating year, you're going to laugh at this. We had about 13 or 14 players on the entire team. And we didn't have a lot of recruits coming to our school. I did get invited to a camp to go get an offer in Mississippi State, and I never even went to the camp. But
the support from our parents, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rick. The support from our parents, not because they didn't care, just because they were looking to, you know, make ends meet. And they didn't know. They had no idea. So it was not the same level of support or guidance, not just parents, but counselors. I mean, the school we went to were not, you know, where our kids go.
Yeah, the school I went to, our coaches weren't active in helping the players get recruited. They weren't active in taking the next step for the players, you know, after high school and helping them promote them. So ironically, five of us did play college football from that small team.
Wow.
And my brother, which was one of them, played Division I at Ohio University. But that's because he transferred to another school, a public school. And then from the public school, he got recruited to a prep school. And there, that's when he got recruited to go to Ohio. So anyways, long story short, after high school, I started working with my parents. And we rented Ryder trucks. And one of the coaches from one of the larger schools, which actually happens to be Roxanna's high school, Miami High, who was a quarterback coach, came to rent a U-Haul truck, and my mom started talking to him about me, and you know, he said, oh well, give me game film and I'll shop it around. So I gave him game film, he shopped it around to a junior college, and I got an offer to go out to a junior college in Arizona. And then from there I got an offer to go to Division III school in Illinois.
Where'd you go?
Greenville Christian University. Mm-hmm. Illinois, not South Carolina.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone would ask, you know, oh, Greenville, South Carolina? No, 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 no. Small little, you know, 4,000 people town in Illinois, and you know, 2,000 of the people that were there were the inmates that were in the state prison. One Walmart and one stoplight.
Wow. Okay. So, all right. So why do you like it so much?
It's my hobby. I enjoy college football. I love college football.
Why?
You know, I grew up wanting to play it. I grew up when I was growing up in Miami, we only had the Dolphins and the Miami Hurricanes. And the Dolphins were pretty expensive for our income bracket to go to. But the Miami Hurricanes, you could go a family of five for $99 a year.
Yeah.
So I grew up going to the Kane games, you know, and just the atmosphere, the camaraderie, everything about it.
So you have a good head for statistics?
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm telling you, we're driving by a high school. He knows the statistics of this high school player. That's concerning.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. It was five high school players that I knew
okay.
were practicing on that field.
Okay. Well, and granted, we're, you know, in quite a distance, and I don't know how he knew who they were, but we were like, Dad, these are minor children. That's concerning. That's almost like, like stalking
material.
Yeah, stalker.
I follow recruiting. I follow high school recruiting. I follow high school. The other thing
that's
I
his
enjoy
hobby.
Is high school sports. So yeah, so I'll
now,
like.
Let me ask you another question, a sensitive question. Do you gamble?
No.
No. I used to play daily fantasy.
And
maybe
I put
like
a stop
5 years
it.
Ago, Roxana, or 6 years ago
yeah.
when it first
yeah.
started. And I stopped and as a matter of fact, back then you weren't allowed to do daily fantasy on college. So I was just doing it on pro sports and I didn't even watch the pro sports. It was more like a math challenge, right? Just looking
right.
at the probabilities and
right.
things like that.
All right.
So I would set lineups and not even watch those games.
We're going to test you. To see what kind of commitment you have to this. But the next time we talk, I want you to have a business plan written.
Okay.
And if you don't, then we're not going to do it. If you put together a business plan and it's a smart one, then you just start beating on it until you get it fixed. I've got, Cindy Bowie?
Yes.
Yes.
Her son is a big agent in LA.
Sports agent?
Sports agent. Well, an agent for everything, but.
Yeah. So does he work for what is the parent company of IMG?
I don't know.
But they're one of the largest agencies. They own Live Nation. I forgot the parent company, the name of them.
Right.
But basically they do entertainment and they do athletics. And one of the owners, one of the founders is Ron Emanuel's brother.
Huh.
The former Obama chief of staff.
Got it.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie, the show on HBO, Entourage.
I know, but I saw it advertised.
Okay, so it's about this guy who becomes a Hollywood star and also his agent. The agent character is based off of this Ron Emanuel's brother. But they have, you know, basically changed, talent management completely. They own IMG, the Academy. IMG was an agency. They bought that as well. And let me see. IMG is International Marketing Group. I'm trying to remember who the owner is.
Okay, so you've got an advantage here, okay? Diversity. I know you claim you don't count, because you're Cubans. But,
yeah.
But you actually do count. And, you know, I know you're kidding. But the reality is that can be a lever for you. That can be a lever. Because people want, I mean, I had a friend of mine say, you know, I wish I could find a good money manager that was African American. I can't find one. So there's a lot of demand out there for diversity in our business. And I'm sure it's the same thing in the sports management business. It's not a ticket. It's just another, it's a lever, right? You can pull the lever and you might as well. So I'm not writing your business plan for you, but there's a, you got some ideas already or you wouldn't bring it up.
Well, we have a lot of friends that are coaches, that are college coaches.
All right. So let's see what you can come up with. Okay. And then I can put my head together, you know, and try and think for you also. Because I've been, you know, we dabbled in this. I didn't ever start a big division or anything at my, in the Midwest, but I dabbled in it. And, you know, it can be a black hole of somewhat, but if you've got like, you know, if you're a bulldog with a bone and you go after it, you'll get whatever you want. You know, if it happens to be your hobby, then good, put the two together and go for it. But it can't be, oh, I'm going to dabble in this. It's like 401k. You're either in or you're not in.
Yeah.
So you say to yourself,
we subcontracted our 401k work.
Right. Because you know, it's a black hole, right? It's just a lot of work, hardly any money. So the game is, okay, how many clients do we have to make this a business for ourselves? And how much in assets do we have to have in order to make this a business? Because it's going to take a lot of time and effort to build it. And I agree that it's a gold mine. But the question is...
And when you...
You know...
When you say how many assets, you mean like over the next 5 years? Or how many assets
over the next,
do you need to be viable right now?
For your business plan. What do you... 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, 6 months. Set your goals and say, if I get this, I'm in the business. If I don't, I'm getting out. I'm not going to spend 5 years in black
Got
hole.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
So put yourself on probation now. Say, I love this, but it's got to work. It can't be a hobby on top of a hobby. It's got to be a business. And then you'll say, oh crap, that's a lot of work. I don't want to do that. Or this is not work. This is fun. I love this. Okay. Cause when you're doing something you love, it's a lot easier than going to the opera. Okay. I can tell you there's a lot of money in the opera.
Yeah.
But
yes.
If you hate opera, then it's not going to work. Okay.
But if you hate it, but I don't love it.
Well, but if you love going to high school football games and college football games and scouting out players and meeting agents and going to training, you know, going to the training and going to Indianapolis for their, whatever you call that thing, you know, where they what do they call it? Combine.
The NFL Combine. Yeah.
Combine. Yeah. They go to the combine. You meet all the agents and I had a guy in Minnesota that was a professional baseball player that was a pitcher. And he would have his 12-4-2 folders in two big, you ever seen the CPAs carry around those big boxes? Big briefcases.
The accordion file briefcases.
Bingo. And he'd have two big ones and he'd head south for spring training. And he was a handsome, tall pitcher, you know, played for Minnesota Twins and had a fabulous business. A lot of baseball players. They trusted him. They liked him. He figured it out. But that was his thing, right? That was what he did. So it's, you know, you combine your hobby with your passion, your business. God, you know, everybody'd love to do that. So I'm all in, but I want you to be all in, not just, oh, that's a good idea. Bright, shiny object number 14, you know? We're not going to do that. So we're going to have results. But I, you know, it's fun. I like it.
Yeah.
Because you like it, you know? Wherever your energy is, where you should go.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. But you got to be an expert. What else? Roxana, what are you going to do while he's running all over the country chasing agents?
I know, right? I don't know. I have to find my own hobby, but I don't have time for hobbies. I'm a personal chef, a book reader, a tutor. I don't know. I wear many hats.
Any of them can you turn them into businesses?
That one, you said something that really hit, you know, I really have to think about that because, you know, within our circle, there is a lot of opportunities. So yeah, that's something I really need to think about. I'm just thinking.
When you say within our circles, there's lots of opportunities. Expand on that.
Okay. Within their school, there's a lot of wealth within their school. The kids' school.
Yep.
The sports they used to play, yes. The sport he's playing now, no. He plays basketball now, and there is not a lot of money in that. And, you know, the basketball community. I think the only, I mean, even within our friends, there is. There is opportunities within our kids, peers, parents, and families.
Okay. Dinner parties are coming back. I know when the world is chaos, it's hard to have dinner parties, but Saturday night dinner party, you know, Sunday night dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night dinner party, figure out what night works, maybe. But you guys deserve to have a life and you deserve to have fun. And you get a babysitter and you guys have a nice dinner party. You can do it out or you can do it at your house. But people are doing very well by entertaining right now.
The house is going to be a little difficult for the next about 3 to 4 months.
But actually, it'll be perfect after.
It'll be perfect after. It'll actually be perfect after because we're remodeling the house, the kitchen, the, you know, all the shared spaces, the kids' rooms. The only one that's not getting remodeled is our room, our bathroom. But all the other bathrooms, everything's getting remodeled. So
can I share something?
That'll be great.
Personal? Yeah, that'll be a great, and we're friends with all of them. So this is something personal. You asked Rick a personal question, so I'll share something personal.
Yeah.
Probably is going to be TMI, but you know, through this circle, Rick, I'm talking about Judy and, you know, that whole group. She's one of them is like the top director at Mary Kay. I mean, the dad was a Merrill commodities trader. He's retired. I mean, there's a lot of wealth, but these moms are all, Very nice. I get along with all of them. But their close circle are all about, you know, they have every Chanel purse you can ever imagine. And that's their thing. Like, they flaunt.
That's how far Roxana is out of the circle, that it's every Birkin purse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Every Birkin purse. Okay. Well, no, they do show the Chanel one day when she was wearing a San Rick. Yeah. And then they all go, no, they do their vacations. You know, they all vacation. I mean, again, and these are our friends. We are friends with them, but not in their circle. And then they all vacation, you know, like this spring break, a big group went to Vail. And then, but they're all like just, you know, they play the part, and I feel a little out of place sometimes because I am not like that. So I don't know if maybe I need to change to kind of be accepted in that circle. So Rick, now you have to buy me every Chanel purse out there. No, I'm joking aside. I mean, I don't know. I guess my question, Rob, is do you have to like really play the part and participate and be like that to kind of be accepted by certain circles? I didn't grow up like that. So for us,
right. So it's a question of maintaining your identity without, you know, fitting in with while still maintaining your own personal identity.
Mm-hmm.
I live on an island, and, you know, there are, it's interesting because we tier ourselves based on age is one whole tier, right?
Hmm.
Another is location on the island. That's another whole group.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's wealth, and that's mm-hmm. strata by, you know, by wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's strata by sports, golf, tennis, fishing, sailing, boating. We, Marcia and I, we move seamlessly between all these groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't try and break into any group.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own group based on our own interests.
Mm-hmm.
And the wives and the husband both have to be able to get along. That's one of the rules.
Right. Right.
And we have the greatest group of people I've ever been associated with here.
Mm-hmm. You're a close group, you mean?
Very close group.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people outside of our group that I'd love to be friends with. I just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's none of that garbage of purses and where you're conditioning and all that. There is a little bit of, it's very, nobody says anything, but I started to fly privately, you know. I brought my daughter down for my 75th birthday, and I flew her down with a friend of mine. We rented a plane, got the two girls together with their kids,
right,
and brought them all down. And people, you know, we're all sitting around talking, and it turns out that pretty much everybody flies privately.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah. And, you know, I hate writing that check for $125,000, but when I sit back in that seat and the plane takes off, I feel great.
Yeah.
So yeah. Is there a little of that going on? Yeah. I don't feel like I need to do that to keep up with the Joneses, but I kind of enjoy it too.
Then that's different. That's a personal choice that you, me, they have, you know, they have two nannies, a live-in housekeeper, and then we have a housekeeper, but I don't have somebody tending to me, you know, 24/7.
No. And so. One of the things to find the group that's like you. Find the group that's like you that has the same values and the same stuff, and those become your friends. Don't change you in order to fit into a group that you don't really, you like them, but you don't need to hang out with them.
Right.
You want a group that you want to go to Europe with.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You want to travel with them. We have a group that if I could spend every day with them and it wouldn't be too much.
Enjoy each other's companies.
We really like each other, respect each other. Everybody's been successful. We call them pips, previously important people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has an ego, and everybody just
previously important people.
Yourself
instead of VIP.
Right.
Awesome.
Is that something that you guys came up with, or is that something that's like common out there?
It's been said before.
Oh, that's awesome. I had never heard that one.
Yeah, use it. It's good. And so
I am going to use that one.
And one of the things to think about is there a group of retired people that would be beyond this crap that you guys are having to put up with that wouldn't be dictated by this BS of showing off how well you're doing? Nobody cares how well you're doing, you know, here.
Yeah.
And it's got to be that community there that's the same as this, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the group you go and find. And they're older, but you know what? They're all perfect as clients.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with hanging out with 65-year-olds because that's where the money is.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Actually,
and that's where my energy level is at as well. So that works.
Right.
Well, my best friend is 10 years older than I am. My college best friend is 10 years older than I am.
It's perfect. Well,
they're clients already. They're an $8 million client.
Right. But that's so start building from that, you know, and just say, hey, so have a dinner party and have them bring a friend and, you know, you have six people over. And anyway, start building on that. Premise that I want people that I like that aren't going to show off their new purses.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
But in truth, I literally didn't know any of these guys flew privately until I brought it up.
Right.
So that's
they do it because they enjoy it. That's how they choose.
They do it because they enjoy it and they can't.
Not to show off.
They don't wear it on their sleeve.
Exactly.
They never say a word about it.
Exactly.
And they all wish they could beat me in golf, but they can't.
Oh, that's
cool. That's the only thing they care about, right? It's funny. Cause that's it. You know, whether you like, we're a good fisherman or not, whether you're a good golfer, whether you're a good tennis player, that's all they care about. And that you're a nice person.
Yeah.
I have another question. Can you take on golf at an old age? Is that a sport that can be picked up?
Yes.
Like in your 40s?
Yes, but it's harder.
It's harder. Okay.
Were you,
in
what
your 40s,
were you, what did you do for sports and what did you do like ballet or?
She could take up tennis. She could take up tennis because she has a long successful history in high school badminton.
That's not true. I was on the dance team and a majorette and co-captain and captain of the dance, you know, of the team. And then the rest of my young adult life, just weight training and exercising, but not.
Wait. Don't omit badminton.
Okay. There was a, when the majorette season ended from, we did football season and then competition. There were no sports available. I wanted to do volleyball or track or anything else. And the only thing available was badminton. So the co-captain, this is when I was captain, and I joined badminton and we really were horrible there.
But there's some tennis there.
Right.
No.
There's a net and a racket.
You know what? Actually, I know we're all just talking here. There's actually, they're going to start the tennis lessons here in our community again.
Yeah.
And a lot of the moms play tennis together after, after drop off. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
We actually have a good, I'm not saying we have a community center, but we have like three or four good tennis courts that like people come here from out of the community to get coaching, you know, private lessons at. You know, again, it's not, you know, Key Biscayne or anything, but it's a pretty decent facility.
Nice. You got it.
That's actually, yes. I'm gonna take on tennis.
Okay, Roxanna, we got your new sport. And you both can obsess about those things and give each other a little room to become obsessive.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, because if one guy's becoming obsessive, then it's like, what about me? And then, but the other one's obsessive, then it's okay. I got my obsession, you got yours. Go for it.
Right.
And it's, both are healthy, by the way. Both are very healthy. I like both. And tennis is a game you can play into your 80s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's a lot easier to pick up than in terms of convenience and not having to join a club and buy all the equipment and all that and take
and time as well, right?
Time
because golf,
4 hours. Yeah, now hour and a half versus 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's really not 4 hours either. It's 6 hours. You got to get an hour there early and an hour after having a drink, you know? So you're 6 hours of, you know, who has 6 hours at your age?
That's exactly why I've never taken up golf, because it's, you know, and most of the time for us, it would be on the weekends. You know, how am I going to be away from my family?
You're not going to leave your kids.
6 hours.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very present.
Maybe. Maybe in 10 years, you know, when they're both out of the house, you know, then I'll take it up. I really don't care about being good. I'll just to have an activity.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge Roxanna to put together a business plan on how she's going to turn tennis into her business. Okay. I'm serious.
Okay. Well, I can play with people in the community, too. There is opportunity here.
Of course there is.
Our new community.
So you don't want to just run over there, pick up a racket, and run home.
No.
You've got to give yourself some time to warm up, get there early, warm up, and then afterwards have a cup of coffee or whatever you can do to get people to stick around and chat.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you take advantage of it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't think you're wasting your time. That's all business development.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for your health.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking this is off topic. But those parents that we talked about where there is a lot of wealth and we're the ones that, you know, are keeping up with the Joneses. There is a lot of wealth there. And we are very, very friendly with all of them. I mean, they're our friends. They're just not in our inner circle. We can probably schedule dinners, like we did with Maite that day, Rick and Christine.
Yeah, and actually, I think I need to, you know, with Jesus, because Jesus and I see each other at the gym and stuff.
And
like
he asked,
that.
And he invited you to do lunch. We need to stop thinking as dinners and going to lunch with all these people as wasting time or.
No,
you know,
it's not at all.
The social part of it, we need to pick up. And before kids, Rick and I were like 150% different. We were extremely social. Probably more than we were very, very social. So I think we need to start, you know, Rick, picking that up again.
Mm-hmm.
That area of our lives around people we would want. Yeah.
Balance. Yes. Balance, because what happens is when the kids then leave, you're like lost because you've obsessed all your time and energy into the kids and they're like gone and you're like, don't you miss me? And they're like, no, we're good. And the wives, I mean, mothers just go crazy. They want to adopt a new baby and just freak out because they're not
it's true. Anymore. All of a sudden your identity and everything has been you know, raising your kids. And you're the second person that tells us that, by the way, in the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's good advice because you gotta have your own life. You gotta realize.
And then we center it around business, you know, enjoying the company of those we're around, but also building our business.
Right, right. Get out in traffic. Okay, that's enough for today.
All right.
You guys, this was actually a great one, Rob. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye. Be well. Bye-bye.